Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels song.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, now meeting at the Holiday Inn Express in Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
Today's message, Distinction and Commonality Between Church and Kingdom, has unique undertones. I will draw a line between the church and the kingdom. They are both to be taught in this age of grace, and yet they are distinct one from the other. Their paths intersect to some extent. I will reveal how and why. One of the major tenets of the Baptists that differ from the Catholic Church and the Protestant churches is that the New Testament church is not universal. It is local and visible. The church is many, not singular. Meaning, just because you are saved and born again does not mean that you are in the body of Christ. A born-again believer becomes a member of a local assembly through scriptural baptism, which is immersion, just as Jesus Christ was immersed in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. Understand this, my friends. Baptism comes after a profession of faith in Christ, not before. Infant baptism is an anathema and cannot be supported by any verse of Scripture. Look it up. The closest you will find a young child near water in Scripture is Moses as an infant floating down the Nile River in a bassinet, and he didn't get wet. Infant baptism is a man-made tradition that is steeped in error that will prevent millions of believers from entering the millennial kingdom of Christ and ruling with him on this earth for 1,000 years. The believer's business is not to build the kingdom, but to build the undefiled church, which is the chaste virgin to be espoused to Christ. Jesus Christ will take out of the pure, undefiled New Testament church those who will make up the kingdom in the future when he returns. Entrance into the millennial kingdom is based on a host of commandments that Jesus spells out for the believer to obey. For instance, read the Sermon on the Mount and the Great Commandment, eternal life on the new earth in a newly created heaven is based on faith alone. However, entrance into the millennial kingdom is based upon faith plus obedience. It is a reward for faithfulness in one's walk with Christ. Write to me if you want further understanding of what I am saying. Listen to the end of the program to get an email or P.O. Box address. Distinction and Commonality Between Church and Kingdom, Part 1. So the church, the distinction and commonality between church and kingdom. No church properly defined as such existed before our Lord appeared, though it may be alluded to that Israel was a church. The word is never found in the Old Testament, and Israel doesn't fit the true definition of the New Testament church. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. He was talking to Peter, and the Catholic Church says that the church is founded on Peter, and he was the first pope, but no, the rock is Jesus Christ. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So upon this rock, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, being the rock of Gibraltar, the rock of our faith, and so the church is built upon him. In Acts, if you turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 7, verse 38, this is the whole chapter is dealing with Stephen. And when Stephen was stoned, Stephen preached to those Pharisees who were about to stone him and talked about Israel's unbelief over the time. So talked about the great men, men in Israel like David and Abraham, Moses, but then the people who followed them and their unbelief. And he says here, so this is where the Lord tells us that Israel is a type of church. In verse 38 of chapter 7, the book of Acts, this is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. The lively oracles. What are the lively oracles? That's the Word of God. It's the Holy Word of God. Lively means of the Holy Spirit. It is truth from God's mouth. And so the living word was given to the Jews there on Mount Sinai, and Stephen used the assembly. That's where we're going to come to here. We'll see the definition here of the word church. Ecclesia is the assembly in the wilderness. So you'll hear sometimes that preachers will say and refer to Israel, the first church, the Old Testament church, being the nation of Israel, and especially there when they assembled around Mount Sinai and got the Ten Commandments and the other commandments that Moses wrote out. So ekklesia is a Greek word. That's the word that was translated to church. And we call that now the study of the church. We call it ecclesiastical or ecclesiastic or ecclesiastical. But it's, the Greek word is with the K, E-K-K, and L. And it means a called out assembly of God's people. It's local, it's visible, its entity was instituted by God alone, and it is not universal. We have to understand, the church is not universal. We're not, all believers are not one big happy church. In the New Testament, it's local visible churches that are in the earth today. And what we're pointing out here in this lesson, in this sermon here, is there's a difference between the church and the kingdom. And the visibility of one. One comes first and then the other. That we are not living in the kingdom. You'll hear folks say that this is kingdom now. We're building the kingdom. We're adding to the kingdom. No, we're adding to the church. The focus has to be on the church. The entity is the church. That is what needs to be focused on in the world today, is building churches. That's what Pastor Dixon is doing. That's what he learned from his father. That's what I learned from his father. It's the importance of the church, the ecclesia, the importance that is God's institution for this dispensation. And they're local. Man, that's a big issue of dealing with local versus visible. Let me go to in Corinthians here. Let's see if we can find that real quickly. We will see that here in a little bit later. But 1 Corinthians, yeah, let's go to 12, chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 12. We'll look at another part of this passage, but chapter 12, verse 12 says, "For as the body is one and hath many members." Now, Paul is talking to the church. He's talking to the Corinthian church. Let's just read it and then we'll go back. So, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink unto one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." Well, this passage is taken out of context to look as if there's a universal body, that we're all baptized into a universal body. No, the body is the church. The church is the body of Christ. This particular church is the same as every other church that Christ is the head of. And that he is the members, are the believers in the church, not all the believers in the world, but it's the believers in the church. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." The Holy Spirit is what unites us, in a sense that we are united. We're little temples. And we house the Holy Spirit within our body. And then we come together, and it's the collective of that one Spirit. And so this is speaking of the local church. Each church is a body of Christ, and it has members. That's why Dr. Dixon emphasized often that the church is not a fellowship, the church is a membership. You're a body. We're a body of believers. We come together. And so it's a membership
that we are a part of this body, as just as your limbs on your body, your feet and your hands, your eyes, your tongue, your teeth are all members of your body, your physical body, because Paul gives that analogy. He gives the anatomy lesson right after that. But the church is a body, and the Spirit of God moves upon us as we baptize people, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, and it is the body of Christ. So that, what is the church? So the church is in the world. That is the foundation for us today that we need to take emphasis in. Not only defined and outlined by Jesus while he was upon the earth, or not fully defined, I should say, Jesus didn't fully define the church while he was here on the earth. In the four Gospels, in matter of fact, only in Matthew does he deal with the church, where a lot of people say, well, Matthew is to the Jew only. Well, it's the only gospel that he mentions church three times, the word church three times. None of the other gospels have that word church. But he nevertheless foretells of its dispensation, and he sent the Comforter to the apostles to illuminate further its purpose and responsibility in the world. Jesus gave us an important criterion of the church in handling discipline of its members. Okay? So Paul the apostle would be considered the apostle of the church. He gave us a lot of doctrine on the church in his epistles that he wrote to the churches. Paul was that vessel that God used by the Comforter to illuminate more on who the church is. We see here in the book of Matthew, Jesus is giving us a criterion of church discipline and how to handle it. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man, means a non-church member, a lost sinner, and a publican. Publicans are despised. Guess what? We're coming around tax day, right? Tax day. IRS is despised. You know, I'm supposed to get out of YouTube jail. I hope that doesn't put me back in, you know. And I just happened to see some guy that I've seen on YouTube before, and I was like wondering what happened to him. I didn't think much about it. But all of a sudden, he just appeared on a video, and he says, I finally got out of YouTube jail. I've been suspended, 2 strikes, 90 days. So he and I have been suspended around the same period of time. But this publican, and Matthew should know this, because Matthew was a publican. Matthew was a tax collector. So he understands how despised tax collectors are in the world. Okay? And so he was a publican. So the matter in church discipline. So verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Means the memberships that are bound together, those who are bound together in the membership of the church, are bound in heaven. And that means they will go into the kingdom. And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So you kick somebody out for sin because of discipline. You discipline them, you remove them from the membership of the church. They've been disconnected, they've been lopped off, they've been amputated from the church. They are loosed in heaven. Means they won't go into the kingdom. Not that they've lost their eternal salvation, but they have lost their ability. So the church is the vessel of gathering believers together to come together to be a part of that kingdom in the future. This not kingdom now, the kingdom is in the future. Paul, and I think I've said this before, but the reason that what Dr. Dixon and Pastor Dixon were teaching and the other pastors that were teaching about unincorporating churches has fallen on deaf ears is because they look at the church as insignificant. It doesn't matter. We're here to build the kingdom. And whatever means it takes to build the kingdom, no. The purity and the sanctity of the church is important. The church is to be sanctified for the Lord. It's the bride of Christ. So Paul exercised this discipline with the church at Corinth. We've learned that. We've taught that before about that man having fornication with his father's, the fornication that was going on in the Corinthian church. And he told the church that they needed to exercise church discipline on that young man. And then in his second epistle, he said, because he had remorse, he repented of his sin to bring him back into the fellowship of the church. And so they exercised what they learned in the book of Matthew there. The stones our Lord quarried, if he is the chief cornerstone, if he is the rock, the stones our Lord quarried became the foundation stones of the church. Listen to what Ephesians says here. Now therefore ye are no more strangers or foreigners, okay, but fellow citizens with the saints. When you get saved, you are fellow citizens with the saints. Not the patron saints of the Catholic Church. Okay? Fellow citizens of the saints. Moses and Abraham and David and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Paul the apostle and Peter the apostle and those that have that are recorded in heaven after those apostles. But fellow citizens with the saints. Or Peter used the phrase pilgrims. We are pilgrims in the earth. And of the household of God. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. So our salvation, and we are like a stone that is part of this building block. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. In these buildings, they're talking about stone buildings like the Parthenon and the temple that was built in Jerusalem, and the temples built to the false gods, the shrines built to false gods. They were all built, they were stone buildings that were built very high and tall and had statues in them, but they were stone buildings. Magnificent architecture of that period of time. And we see a lot of that in the remnant of the Roman Empire, those stone buildings. And so a habitation of God through the Spirit. And we are a building. And that as a church, individually as a church, we are a stone in this huge building that the Lord is building. That will be part of the kingdom. The quarry from which the stones cry out, rejoice as Jesus rides into Jerusalem upon a donkey. Okay, the triumphant entry of the Lord that occurred before his crucifixion. The scriptures tell us here in Luke 19, and when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, speaking to Jesus, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. The stones would immediately cry out. That we are living stones, but the physical stones in the earth would cry out and praise God. You see that? Does that make sense? That there's a building, this building, and the church is significant in this building of this spiritual temple. And we are stones within the Lord. So pillars used to support pagan structures like the Parthenon, thousands of years ago, were made of stones stacked upon one another. It tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and if I tarry long, that thou mayest know that thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, the church, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. The pillar, the stone pillars and ground of truth, the foundation stone, the ground of truth.
You have been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Now meeting at the Holiday Inn Express, 13625 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.